Okay. Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. We are on Samach Omid Beis at the two dots, about 10 or 15 lines up from the bottom. And we're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, Harry Beer, Tzvi Mendel Ben Pinchos, and Bel Weinstein, Bela Ben Chaim Dov. One of the chance we learn for should have an Aliyah. Also mentioned yesterday, I think when I said it, I made a slight mistake. When we were talking about the bracha of Hamapil yesterday, we were talking about the bracha that we say, Hamavishena Meinosh, the mummy after party in the morning. So I said we say them in the plural. So we don't say Hamapil in the plural. That we follow the Girsa of the Gemara. It's only the Girsa of the Gemara for the bracha of the Birchas HaShachar that we changed the Girsa that the Gemara had from the singular to the plural. Just correct that. I think I said it wrong yesterday. Okay, so we begin with a Greek quote from the Mishnah, Chayiv Adam Levarech Hule. A person has to make a bracha on bad things just like he has to make a bracha on good things. Very important idea. So Chayiv Adam Levarech, my Chayiv Levarech al Ra. What does he make on bad things? Kishem Shavarech al Tova. What exactly is this bracha that you're supposed to make on bad things that you make on good things? So Ilemo, Kishem Shavarech al Tova, Hatova Hameitiv, Kach Mavarech al Ra, Hatov Meitiv. Do we suggest that you make the same bracha? Oh, Baruch Hashem, it's a nice rain and everything is going well for you and for the farmers, the crops are going great, and therefore we should make a bracha, Hatova Meitiv, so to Rahman al Islam, if somebody dies, so we make the bracha, Hatova Meitiv? Is that what you're suggesting, Rahman al Islam? So Vatnan, Basuras Tova, so my Tova Meitiv. We already learned that previously that on Basuras Tova, you make a Tova Meitiv. And we said, on Basuras Rose, you don't make a Tova Meitiv, Omer Baruch, Dayin, or MS. We all know that, unfortunately. So what are we talking about over here that you should make a different bracha? You should make the bracha on Tov, just like you make on Tov, you have to make it on Ra. It can't be the same bracha. So I'm a Rav, Elo Nitzchel, you're right. Ella, it's the attitude. L'kabulinu b'simcha. A person has to have the right attitude over here. And it's brought down in the Svarim. Chovo yismach al yisurim. A person has a chiyav. He has to be happy about the yisurim that he gets. Now, that's a very difficult thing to do from an emotional point of view. When you're Rachman al-San having emotional and or physical pain, very, very difficult to do. But the idea, we mentioned this many, many times, and it's a very important idea to understand when you're capable, Baruch Hashem, when you're intellectually able to understand this, when you're not in the pain, when you're not in the midst of it right now, to understand that everything comes from the Shemayim, as we'll have a story in a moment in the Gemara. Amar Vacha, Mishum Rav Levi, Maikra. Where's the pasuk, the source of this over here? So it says, Chesed u'mishpat ashira, l'cho Hashem ha'zameira. Then for both Chesed and Mishpat, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im Chesed ashira, v'im Mishpat ashira. If God gives us something great, you win the lottery, so you can say, thank you Hashem. And Rachman al-San, if it's the opposite, you don't win the lottery, you lose your job, you have all sorts of terrible, difficult things happening to you, you also have to say, it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for always doing what's best for me, even though it doesn't sound like I want this right now, and it's very painful, it's very difficult. Nevertheless, called the Avad Rachmana L'tav. Everything that God does, as we'll see, is for good. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeini says a different pasuk. We have various sources for this idea. Again, when you have the multiple sources over here, it suggests that there's a prevalent theme and that we can see this idea alluded to in many different places. So Rav Shmuel ben Achmeini Omar Meyoch, he says in this pasuk, B'Hashem Ahalel, Dover Belukim, Ahalel, Dover B'Hashem, Ahalel. Dover Zu, Mida Tovo Belukim, Ahalel. Dover Zu, Mida Peronius. You have to go both for good and for bad. Now on the side, it brings down, there's a different Giris over here. It says, Belukim, Ahalel, Dover B'Hashem, Ahalo Dover. And this is the more correct gears it says on the side. In any event, again, we see over here the same thing. You have to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu for both the good and the bad. Rav Tanchum Omehocha, a different pasuk. He says, Kos Yeshua says, Saw, Uvashem Hashem Ekra. So then that's the part that you praise Hashem for good. However, then it says, Tzor V'yogon Em Tzor, Uvashem Hashem Ekra. You also have to praise Hashem in times of bad. Rabbanan Amar Yochel, they say this pasuk. This is a very famous pasuk. This is a pasuk that many people say at a funeral, at a hesped, which is, again, expressing the idea that even at a funeral, we do tzedek hadin. We say, this is God's correct. We have no tightness against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the correct judgment. Hashem Nosan, Hashem Lokach. God gives life, God takes away life. Hi Shem Hashem Mavorach. We bless God in both. It's like you have a birth, you're thrilled, and Rachman al-Islam at a death. While we can't express that, it's too painful for us. We're not saying you should express this with great joy. But there were great tzaddikim. I remember hearing a story once about a Levaya. There was one of the Bali Musa was very, very medactic on people being on time. That was one of his things. He was, you have to show up on time. And Nebuchadnezzar had a Levaya in his family, and he was an hour late for the Levaya. And everybody's waiting. Everybody's shocked. You know, this pot's dish for him. He's always telling everybody it's not right to keep other people waiting. It's a very appropriate attitude. If something's supposed to start at a certain time, without going crazy and obsessive compulsive about it, should start roughly on time. So he kept everybody waiting. So he had to answer. He said, what could I do? You have to make the bracha dynamis. Took me an hour to get myself into the mood to say the bracha of Dayan HaEmes with the appropriate attitude that I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this when I was extremely unhappy about this and upset about this. It took me an hour, okay? It may take us a lot more than an hour, but at least intellectually we have to understand this. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Mishum, Rav Meir. So again, when you say Mishum, I have pointed out many times, Rav didn't live at the time of Rav Meir. He lived a little bit, Rebbe says, I only saw Rav Meir from behind. And Rav was a Talmud of Rebbe. So when we have the word Mishum, it means he didn't hear it from it directly. It means he heard it from someone else. We just don't know who. And that's why it says Mishum Rav Meir, as opposed to Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Rav Huna heard it directly from Rav. That's the Lashon that we use. In any event, others say, V'chein Tanim Mishmei Rabbi Akiva. It was from Rabbi Akiva. In any event, one who said this was as follows. La'olam, Adam Ragil Lomar, a person should be in the habit of saying, Kol Rachmana L'tav Ovid. Anything that God does is for good, even the things that don't seem like they're good for us. At least it's an attitude that we have to teach ourselves and train ourselves. And we have a famous Maisa, famous story. Ki Hod Rabbi Akiva. This once happened to Rabbi Akiva, this Maisa. The Havika Azal Ba'urcha. He was going on the road one day. Matalai Masi. He reached a certain town, and all the hotels were booked. Boy, Ushbizi wanted to get a place to stay. Lo Yahavile. Nobody gave it to him. From the Lashon over here, Lo Yahavile, it seems to imply that they didn't let him in. No, maybe they said no Jews allowed. I don't know. They didn't let him in. So he couldn't have a place in the town. So what did he do? He said, no problem. Called the Ovid Rachmana Litav. Anything that God does is for good. No problem. I'll sleep outside. So he takes his little meager belongings and he goes and finds a place right near the town in the woods and he sleeps outside. Azal Bus. Bus means to sleep. He went and he lay down. Midavra, in the wilderness someplace. The Hava Bahadei, now what were his meager possessions? He had with him Tarnagoli, and a chicken, a rooster, the Chamra, a donkey, and Shraga, and he had a flame. Okay? So he had these three things. Also, Zika, along comes the wind, Kavila Shraga, blows out his candle. He's not a Boy Scout, he doesn't know how to start a fire, he has no light. Okay, says, what does he say? Baruch Hashem, it's all for the good. Also, Shunra, cat comes, Achli L'Tarnagola, a cat comes and eats his chicken. What does he say? He says, all for good. Also, Ayeh, Eloi comes, Achli L'Chamra, eats his donkey. Omar, after each of these things, he says, called the Ovid Rachmana L'Tav. Everything that God does is for good. I got no concerns over here. This is God's will. Here we see, we don't always see this in our lives, we don't always see this immediately. Here you see the immediate reason why this was good. Beba Lila, that very night, Osa Gaisa, along comes a marauding troop. And Shavi Lamasa, they enter the town, they take over the town. I don't know what they did to the people in the town. Certainly not good. Rabbi Akiva is not in the town. He didn't get a chance to stay there. So they come to the town and they take over the town. Everybody's captured. Amalu, he told to the people that were with him. Rabbi Akiva obviously was also traveling with some other people, or he told people later on. He now told everybody, Lav Amri, didn't I say Luchu? Didn't I tell all of you? Komash also, Osa Kosh Baruchu, Hakol Litova. Didn't I tell you that everything over here is good? So, of course, obviously, if they had seen his flame, they would have come and found him. If they had heard his rooster crowing or chicken, you know, cockadoodle doing, whatever it is, they would have come. If they heard the donkey braying, they would have found him. So it was actually in his best interest that all these, quote, terrible things happened. At the moment that they happened, didn't sound like it was good. But here you see direct impact right away how this was obviously good for him over here. Okay, interesting, the Shomit Zion Balocha and Rav Sternbuch, they both say that this idea over here is using the Tarnagol, is where we get the idea of Kaparis from the Tarnagol. This is one of the sources why we Bedavka use the Tarnagol for the Minog of Kaparis, for people that do Shlok Kaparis with an actual chicken. So this is where they get the Minog from. Interesting idea. Okay. Another statement in the in similar vein from the same Amoraim and Tanoim. A person should always keep his words, and the Mefarsh brought out the words of a person as opposed to Mili Dishvaya. That's one interpretation over here. They accept on the word Adam. So a person should always keep his words short in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, Al Tavayel Al Picha, Believe Chal Yemar, Lo Tzidol L'Dei Elokim. So don't be so quick to say a lot of things in front of Hashem. Kelukim Hashemayim v'atol aretz alkein yu dvorecha meutim. So you should only say a few things in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What in the world does it come from? So the simple understanding, it's the same member as Rav Yehuda Amarav, Rav Huna Amarav, the name of Meir. But others say, no, this is a direct connection. It says, you should keep your words few against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Don't be such a complainer against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why'd you do this to me? Don't have kindness against that Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because if you really believe that it's all for good, so then what are you having kindness? So keep your words against Hashem to few. There's nothing wrong with the person being upset. There's nothing wrong with the person having a financial, having an emotional or physical sense of grief. That's allowed. But to go and do more than is appropriate, right? By Avram, it says, so there's a little chaf over there, if I remember correctly. So it teaches us, hesped is appropriate. Mourning is appropriate. But there's a limit. And the Gemara elsewhere has many stories where if you mourn too much, Hashem says, you want to mourn, I'll give you a reason to mourn. And he gives you more. So again, it doesn't mean emotionally. It doesn't mean that a person can't miss the things that Nebuch he had that were taken from him. People or other things. But again, one has to recognize it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one beautiful interpretation over here. Others say, interesting idea, don't do too many piyutim. There were those that were not in favor of all the extra additions and insertions. So he said, no, just do the davening. Don't make all these extra insertions. That's what some say. Keep your words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a minimum. And others say, this is a very important idea. The Divrei Chamudos brings down, Tov Mat VeKavana. It's better to say a little bit of the davening with Kavana than rushing through everything with no Kavana whatsoever. This goes against the grain. This goes against what we normally would think. I have to daven everything. The person says, I have to daven everything. So, you know, I'll do a poor job of everything rather than doing a good job on a little bit. Again, every person has to know, you're supposed to daven everything. It doesn't mean you're not supposed to daven everything. But it's better to try to do with Kavana as much as you can rather than doing everything without Kavana. Again, every person has to know for themselves. And if you're not going to daven a little bit with Kavana, it's probably better to daven a lot without Kavana rather than to daven a little bit without Kavana. But again, I'm not sure that that's true. Every person has to try to daven with Kavana, and that's what it means. One of the things is don't do a lot. Don't say a lot of words without any Kavana. Say a few words with Kavana. That's better. Again, there are a number of other ideas over here, but the bottom line is, Yechavin Libo Lefnei Hashem. Everything that you say should be realizing it's in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even non-Torah matters, a person should minimize as appropriate. Don't just spend your time wasted or your time talking about Dvarim B'Teilim. That's another interpretation.
Thank you for the coronavirus?
Yep. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it in the way that we thank Hashem for something difficult and bad. Again, we recognize it's the Yad Hashem. It's not something that happened in Wuhan Abira. You know, it's not something that just happened by itself. Shushan Abira, Wuhan Abira. It's a similar idea that a person has to go and recognize that all things come from Hashem. And we don't understand. Why is this a good thing? We have no idea why it's a good thing. It certainly doesn't sound like it's a good thing, but it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzidik Hadin. We accept it and we recognize that Hashem is doing this on purpose. And why? We don't know. Darish of Nachman Reb Chis, my decision was supposed to mean. Now we go into an interesting bunch of series of agaditas, darishing the word Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Adam. Now it says there, Bishnei Yudim, the word Vayitzer could be spelled with one yud, but why is the Torah use two yuds? So, Shnei Yitzar and Barak Kodesh Baruch Hu, Echad Yitzar Tov, Echad Yitzar Yitzar Ra. Hashem made in all of us a good inclination and a bad inclination. And both of them are supposed to be used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, we pointed out the other day, how do you use your bad, your Yetzirah in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm jealous of somebody else. He doesn't only go to Daf Yomi, he chazes the Daf Yomi at night. I'm jealous of this person. He not only goes to shul, but he comes early and he goes late and he leaves late. And I always come in, you know, by Yishtabach. So that's a good thing to be jealous of other people. That's jealousy, the terrible midah. But it can be used in a positive way. And so too can every midah. You can be angry. You can be angry in the service of Hashem. You have to be careful how to control your anger. But you could be a person who has all sorts of tithes, but you can use those tithes to serve Hashem. So you have a desire to get a lot of money, but your desire to get a lot of money, you translate that and go and give it so I can give a lot of money to tzedakah, and then you go and do it. So these are ways you can have your Yetzirah serve Hashem as well. If you're telling me the two yuds are there for this idea, are you telling me animals don't have a Yetzirah? It doesn't say by Yetzirah by the animals, it only says by Adam. But we see all the time, we see all the time, that the goring ox, the biting ox, the kicking ox, so you see all the time that the animals have a Yetzirah. Mashal wants to suggest, no, they only have a Yetzirah. That's what the Gemara means. They don't have a Yetzirah, but the Rashash doesn't, the Mashal wants to suggest that the Rashash doesn't like that. Okay. Ella, so what's the right shot then? If you want to say that this is a problem, because it can't be that it means Yetzirah, Yetzirah, Ella, Kishimim Pazi. Don't Kishimim Pazi. What did he say? Oily me Yotzri, but oily me Yitzri. It's woe to me for my evil inclination, and woe to me from the creator of the evil inclination, because I'm going to have to answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at some point in time. That's what the two Yud symbolize. Alternatively, Inamik the Yirmi Relazar, the Omer Yirmi Relazar, do Paitsuf in Barak Kodesh Baruch Hu Yad Rishon. Hashem created Adam Rishon with two faces. Shenemar, Achor V'Kedem Sartani. There was originally Adam and Chava were one entity. According to this unbelievable medrash over here, this Agarita, you had Adam and Chava were physically back to back. They were one creation. Then Kodesh Baruch Hu eventually split them into two creations. We'll now dash in more about this. But even Hashem looking at that tzeila, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the tzeila, the rib. That's how it's normally translated. But the word tzeila doesn't mean a rib; it means something else. It means he created some sort of an additional appendage over here, and that's what we're going to now discuss, according to different opinions, what this tzeila is. So Rav Shmuel, one of them said, we don't know which one. Chadamar, it means partsuf. It meant exactly what we just said. That he created over here, the man and the woman, as one single entity, and then ultimately split them. The Chadamar Zonav, he created an appendage. Zonav means an appendage. And that's what he created, some extra tail, not labdavka, it means a tail over here, but he created some sort of initial thing from which he ultimately made Chava. Now, Bishlam Uman the parts of Kun, the one that says two faces over here, Hanu Dusiv, Achor Bekedim Satani. He made front and back. So it makes very good sense. Eloman the Amazonov, it was an appendage of some sort, my Achor Bekedim Satani. What does that mean? Has an appendage, Achor Bekedim. So that Kid Rabbi Ami, Dhamma Rabbi, Achor Lemaisa Bereshus, Adam Arishon was created the last of the Maisa Bereshus. We were the last creation. However, Vakidem Leparonus. We were the first ones in terms of getting punished. Now, Mor says, is that really correct? The fact that we were created last, that's simple. Says the Pesukim, and the man was created on the sixth day, the last day. The low every ad mali Shabbat. We weren't created until every Shabbos. Elo, the kidim of Paranius, we were the first ones to be punished. That's not true. Paranius demai. What punishment are we talking about over here? Ilema Paranius de Nocho. Should be talking about the punishment that we got for eating from the eight Sadas. The Nochosh Chava and Odom, so Votanya. We already learned elsewhere. Now, the Mephoshim will ask, why do you need a Pasuk over here to tell us this? So, well, why do you need a Braisa? It's a Pasuk. Why do you need Votanya? It learns in a Braisa. It says the Pasuk. It says state the Pasuk. So the answer is because if we just had the Pasuk, we might have said that Ein Mukdam Umuchar B'Torah. So we could say that the Torah is not listed in its right order. So therefore, you need the Braisa to tell me, no, the order that it's listed in is exactly the order that it happened. And what is this Braisa? Rabbi Omer, Bigdula Matrilim, and a Bigdula, in regards to important things for Kavod, Matrilim and Agadla. You begin for the biggest one. But in bad things, Matrilim and Agadla, you start off with the least important one. So where do we see this? From Bigdula Matrilim and Agadla, Dichsiv, Vaidabim Moshe El Aaron, first Moshe leads to Aaron, and then, Vielel Azar, Vielel Yisamar, Banov, Hanosarib, Kichuv Gomer. So first you start off with Aaron. Bigdula, Moshe speaking to you, first you mention Aaron, then you mention his sons, then you mention the rest of Klal Yisrael. So Bikalala, Maskilim and Akotim, where do we see that from? Miskilin is Chaluch Nochosh. The Nochosh is the least of Adam, Chava, and the Nochosh. So he's cursed first. You're going to have the dust of the earth to eat. Then Chava was punished. You're going to have childbirth. It'll be difficult. So therefore, you have the order is starting with curses from the youngest one. So the least important, not the youngest, the least important one. So therefore, that can't be what Ocher V'Kedem means. So what does it mean? Ela Paran is the marble. We see this from the marble. What does it say there? Dichsev, Vayimach, Eskola, Yikom, Hashem destroyed the whole world. Asher opened out the maw, May Adam V'Yad Behemah, from man through the animals. So first man is mentioned. So you see over here, Beklala, but Paranius, man was first. That's what Ocher V'Kedem said, Tani. So all the Farshim is, but if it had said Behemah, Mi'adam, you had to say one of the two. So the Mepharshim answered, no, it didn't have to say one or two. It could have just said, he wiped out all Hayikum, Hashem put it out tomorrow. Period. Didn't have to say Me'adam V'Heima. So therefore, when it says Me'adam V'Heima over here, it tells us that specifically the order on purpose. Bereisha Adam V'Hadam V'Heima. Now, Bishlam Amad Yom HaParetzuf, again, according to one that says that man and woman were created simultaneously, Hainu Dusiv V'Yitzu V'Shnei Yudin. Oh, that was a nice explanation we gave for the two Yudin. El Amad Yom HaZonov, appendage, my vayitza, what is the lashon over here, the two yuds? So, Kedoshim and Pazi, we already had this before, the Omarishim and Pazi. Oily mi yotzri, oily mi yitzri. The two yuds signify this idea that woe is to me for my inclination, and woe is to me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created my inclination, that I'll have to answer to him eventually. Vishlam and the Mandiyama Paratsuf, again, the same idea. It works well, according to Mandiyama, says, Adam in the front, Chav in the back, Hainu the Siv, Zachar the Kevah, Baram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them together. It says, Betharish in the Pasuk. That's how we darshan it. El Mandiyama Zano, my Zachar the Kevah, Baram, what does it mean that Hashem created the appendage over here? Zachar the Kevah. What does that mean? So, Kedir Rabbi Yavol, the Rabbi Yavol Rami. Rabbi Yavol put two brises against each other and showed us the answer. Siv Zachar the Kevah, Baram. You have one Pasuk that says that man and woman were created. Siv, keep it telling Elohim also. Adam, that Hashem made Adam b'tzelem Elokim. So that seems to be in contrast over here that one says Zohar the Kev and one says just man. So one says, okay, it's not, why don't you reconcile these two psukim? B'tchilo olam matshava livros ba'ez. Originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu made two ulubisov. Subsequently, no nivra elecha. But then he subsequently separated them and made each one separately. So again, the psukim suggests this by zohar nekeva bara. Bishlamu gaban the armor parts of according to the one says again, man and woman created together. Hainu to say it by iskar basa tachtena. He then separated them and he had to make backs for them. So therefore, he made a back. By iskar basa tachtena. But according to the armor, it says an appendage. El man the armor zonav my vayisgar basar tachtena. What does it mean? Vayisgar over here. This lash is a little bit funny. So when it says, "Amr Yirmiyah, b'temer of Zvi, b'temer of Nachma Yitzchak, lo nitzcha el makum chatoch." At the point of the incision where he cut it off, so Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Mefarshim explained, miraculously made a keel. It says vayisgar. Hashem sealed it off. When a surgeon seals it off, you get a scar. When Hashem seals it off, there's no scar. So that's what it means over here. Hakadosh Baruch Hu seals it. It's a perfect seal, and you can't tell where there was an operation. Now we go the other way. According to Man Yom, it says Zonov, that it was an appendage over here that was Chava was created from. Ha'inu d'chseh, vayivin. Oh, you understand. He had to build it. He had to build it from scratch. El Man Yom, parts of my vayivin. What does it mean? He built it. They were both there. He just separated them. It should have said he separated. Why is it vayivin? That's clear. Shimon ben Manasseh. What did he say? The Darish of Shimon ben Manasseh. My d'chseh, what does it mean? Vayivin. Hashem has said tzeilo. A Kodesh Baruch Hu created the tzeilo. Vayivin. So Malam, it should call a Kodesh Baruch Hu l'chava. Hashem braided Chava's hair to make her enticing to Adam, to make it look pretty to Adam. They veal the Adam Arishon. And this is, in fact, a message for us. Shekein b'kracha yom karm l'kliyosa b'niyosa. And this is why, by the way, as a language etymology over here, it tells us that the word a kliya, a braid, is known as b'niyosa in some languages. So v'yiven means that Kodesh Baruch Hu braided Chava's hair. Dover achav v'yiven. Let me just first explain the previous. So what does it mean, the message for us over here? So Gemara is going to say later on, before I should bring down over here, that a great person should be not afraid to be making shiduchim and helping out a woman of a lower stature. The person shouldn't say, it's below my dignity to make a shidduch for this person. Below my dignity to go and help with the wedding for this person. I'm on this social scale or on this level of importance, and they're on that level of importance. So no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so much greater than everybody else, yet he was willing to make the shidduch, so to say, to make Chava look good for Adam. So therefore, everybody should do this as a message to us. Another dover acher vayivin. What does it mean? Amar Reb Chisda. Vami lo mastisa. Either Reb Chisda or Bryce has said it. Tana. Malami shabana Hakadosh Baruch Hu chava kibinin otzer. Hakadosh Baruch Hu created chava in a perfect way, like you would make a storage house. Ma otzer zeh katzim milamala. You have a narrow opening, v'rochel lamata, but it's wide at the bottom, so you can keep a lot of things in it. Kidei lekabelas apero, so you can store a lot of fruit in it. So too, afu isha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu made a woman in that way. Kitzar lamala. It's more narrow at the top, v'rochel lamata, milamata at the bottom. Kidei lekabelas of lot, so the woman can hold the child in the best way. Then it says, "Vayivel Adam." Here's what the drush that I was saying before. This is where it's coming from. Hakadosh Baruch Hu brings Chava to Adam. Remember, Yirmi Elazim, Malami Shenasa. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shushpin li Adam Arishon. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was the interferer. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was the one who helped make the shidduch. He helped prepare everything. The shushpinim are the friends of the Chasin and Kala. So Adam and Chava didn't have any friends. They were the only people around. So therefore, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'll step in and I'll be the shushpinim. I'll be the friends over here and help arrange the wedding." Mikan, here we learn the basic idea. Limda Torah derech eretz. Torah is teaching us the way to act. From so many stories, we sometimes don't understand the stories, but there are messages, there are morals that we can learn from over here. And this is, Sheyachzor over here, Gadol in Kopton, a great person, should not be embarrassed. It's below my dignity to be Bishush Benis. That's to be the helpers for the wedding over here, the Ayerelo. And a person shouldn't be saying, it's not for me to do. No, a person say, it is pas for me to do. It is appropriate for me to go do this. No, man, the other parts of Haimi Naisai Ratio. Okay, we stopped our back and forth over here which one is right. But according to the opinion, it says they were both created, Adam and Chava together. So which one was, quote, the front, and which one was, quote, the back? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Stavra de Gavrasagi, it makes sense that man would be in the front, Bereisha. Why? The Tanya, because there's a halacha. A man shouldn't be following a woman in the derech. It's not snias. You're looking at a woman from behind, so it can lead to hirurim. It can lead to inappropriate thoughts. A man shouldn't walk behind the woman. So at Mistama, the Chava was behind Adam rather than Adam being behind Chava. And this is true afilu ishto, who you have permission to be with. So nevertheless, you shouldn't constantly have hihurim. Person shouldn't walk behind the woman and look at her. Of course, you're allowed to walk behind the woman on the street, but the trick is not to look at her. You look down. right? I always say this, I heard a famous word from my Rebbe. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never punishes you for the first look on the street when you see a woman who's scantily clad. He punishes you for the second look. He punishes you for turning back and taking another good look. That's what you get punished for. You turn the corner and you see something, what can you do? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in front of your eyes. You divert your eyes. You remove your looking in that direction. It's when you look the second time, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. So again, don't put yourself into a situation where you're looking at a woman from behind. Nizdanu, well, I guess you're walking on a bridge, so you salkenu litzdadim. So you go to the side and go ahead of her. V'chol over achari yishu benar, and especially in the waters when they were traveling in water, so the woman would have to lift up her dress or her skirt, whatever the toga that they were wearing. So then, ein l'chay l'chol abba. If you're looking b'dafka behind that situation, you're going to see more than you should be seeing for certain, and therefore that's inappropriate. So especially when you're crossing a body of water, so you have to be careful not to walk behind the woman. Tana Rabbanu, and we learn further over here, my maratzo mals lisha, when you're handing over a woman money, you're a storekeeper, you're handing her money, from your hand to her hand. So if you're doing it out of normal business and you're not looking and interested, so then you're allowed to hand her the money. Kedele stakoba, but if you're doing it that you can get a look at her hands, she has pretty fingers, so I feel yesh with tovim masa tovim. Even a person has a ton of tovim masa tovim. Kemosh Rabbeinu, you have an unbelievable amount of tovim masa tovim. It's going to haunt you to look at the woman in this way. You're going to have to pay the piper for this inappropriate lack of morality. This immorality of you. I didn't do anything. I just looked. So people, I just looking. Right? No, that's wrong. We don't just look. That's a very, 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 very strong aveira. And especially because it leads in a man to irhurim. Whole discussion, does this apply to a woman? Or this is only a din for a man? So there are mafarshim say, this is only a din for a man. Because a woman, it won't lead to a physical discharge of zera. For the man, he's constantly thinking about this, or when he thinks about this, it could lead to irhurim that are inappropriate. It could lead to kisha, it could lead to otzar zera, etc. It could be a terrible thing. So therefore, a man, especially, again, some say it applies to a woman as well, but certainly for a man, this is a very terrible thing. Shenema, yod liyod, lo yinakya, ra. So this pasuk over here tells us, lo yinakya b'din shul gehenim. This ra over here is a reference to gehenim, Mufarshim says, in the Dharma says, ain ra le gehenim, and therefore, this is what will be your fate, rachmanu litzlan, if you act in these inappropriate fashions. Rav Nachman tells us over here, Manoach was the father of Shimshon, right? I'm a Aretz for you. So this opinion says he was an Am Aretz. Now, before I go any further, Dimri Noam, it's written down from the Vilna Gaon. So he says that Manoach was the Gadol HaDor. So take everything here we're saying with a grain of salt. This will be relative or comparative. So Manoach was a huge tzaddik. But according to this opinion, he was, quote, an Am Aretz. At least in this one aspect, he's saying he didn't know the din. They say, Vayelach Manoach Achri Yishto. Manoach followed his wife. Her name was Hatzl Puni. And he followed his wife. Now, you're not supposed to follow your wife. We just said, don't walk behind the woman, even your wife. So he was an Amoritz, at least in regards to this din, that he didn't follow this din. By Elkanah, so it says he went after his wife. Is that also true? There's only one pasuk. Only one problem over here. If you notice, there's no Torah or over here telling you where this pasuk is. And Tosus points out there is no such pasuk. So this is the style of the Gemara. Sometimes it uses a language that's not a direct quote of the pasuk. Even though it says over here, d'chsev, it doesn't always mean it's an actual pasuk. And Tosu says, over here, ain't pasuk zeh b'chol ha-mikra, v'lo go sinale. He says, we don't darsh in this is an incorrect girsa, either a printer's error, or it's an allusion. That's what Tosu says, that it's an allusion sometimes to words in the pasuk, but it's not a direct quote from the pasuk. Simplest thing is to just not be gorsed over here. But Bagavi Elisha, there we do have a pasuk, d'chsev, v'yokam v'ilech acharel. After the Isha Shunamis. So Elisha goes after the Isha Shunamis. So he says he went after her. How can he do this? So he's telling me, Manoach's an Amoritz. He's saying Elisha's also an Amoritz. So Achanami Acharel, Mamish? No, obviously that's not what it means. Elo Achri Dvarel, Achri Atzasah. So obviously Elisha knows the din. He's a Navi. So therefore, he didn't do something wrong. It meant he followed her, not literally, figuratively. He followed after her idea, after what she was saying, but not physically after. So to Manoach, followed Hatzlopuni. Figuratively, not literally. So obviously, Manoach was a great Talmud Chacham. He knew this then. Rav Nachman Manoach Am Aretz. According to Rav Nachman, says he wasn't Am Aretz in some aspect. He didn't even know a basic pasuk because it says over here. And then it adds the extra words Achriya Ish. So it says that she went after the man. In other words, she didn't let herself go first and have Eliezer follow her, because that would put Eliezer in a compromised position, and therefore she went afterwards. Those words, achriish extra, below lifneish, could have just said v'telachna. So the extra words, achriish, he should have darshan this out. If your choice is walking after a lion or after a woman, better to walk after the lion. because it's so dangerous. That's only physical danger after the lion. Here it's spiritual danger. But if the choice is Achari Isha, Lo Achari Akam, if the choice is between over here, walking after a woman, or after an Akam, Achari Akam. Again, even though it's more dangerous to walk after the Akam, better to do that rather than walk after a woman, even though that might be dangerous for you. Lo Achari Beis HaKnesses. But if the choice is behind the Beis HaKnesses, so then better to walk after the woman. Because when you walk behind the Beis HaKnesses, that's even worse. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Let's read that one more time. Better to walk after a lion. Arev lo achri isha. Better to walk after a lion rather than the woman. But if the choice is better achari isha. I'm sorry. Achari arev lo achri isha. Better to walk after the lion rather than the woman. Better to walk achari isha v'lo li achari akum. Better to walk after the woman than the akum. The akum here represents avodah zara, not an akum. It means after avodah zara, because avodah zara will destroy you in the world to come. This will only destroy you over here in this world. You won't be leaving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a sinner. So a person who's a sinner still has a share in the world to come. But if you're doing the sin of avodah zara, that could lose your share in the world to come. And if the choice is between an Akum, lo achari beis haknesses, if you have to walk behind the avodah zara or behind the beis haknesses, better to walk behind the avodah zara, because when you're, at least, if you're over the Avodah Zarah, you're not denying Hashem. You could be a shutfis. Okay, I believe in the Avodah Zarah, I believe in the Baal, Rechman al-Slan, and I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you're going behind the Beis HaKnesses, like we had early in the Masechta, it means that you're davening away from Hashem. It means you're denying Hashem. And this is B'shar Shasim Mitzpalim. So if you basically say, the davening mincha, you say, no, I don't daven mincha, and you leave the shul, that's far worse. No. In this situation, if your choice was doing one of these two, so better to walk behind the Avodah Zarah than to bedafka turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, V'lo Amarim, we only said this din, by the way, this is a reminder we had in Daf Ches, we only said this din, El Dolor Midi. If they need you for Minya, at center, and you say, no, I don't daven to God, so that's terrible. But if you're carrying 17 packages and say, I'm sorry, I'd love to join you, but I can't, I daven Mincha already, and you keep on running with your packages, then it doesn't look like you're denying God. Vidari Midi, less limbo. But if you're carrying packages, it's obviously you're not davening to Hashem, you're carrying packages. Well, I'm on the lek of Pislachrina, and that's only you can't walk by the shul and not enter if there's another entrance. So people don't assume that you're not davening the Mechaya, you're going into the other side. Okay, today we don't have that problem here at the Young Israel, there's only one entrance. V'ikah Pislachrina, less limbo. There's another entrance, then it doesn't look like you're denying God's kingdom. Below Amor, we only said it's the low Rachiv Chama. You're riding on a donkey, so of course you're not coming to the shul. Where are you going to put your donkey? So Abu Rachiv Chama, less than but. Again, it doesn't look like you're denying Hashem. Below Amor, the low man of tefillin. The guy's wearing tefillin, he obviously is not denying Hashem, so therefore he must have davened mincha already. That's why he's not going into the shul. Abu Rachiv Chama, less than but. Again, all of these things is a reason to show that you're not denying Hashem. Amar Rav, Yetzar, Adom Elizvob. Rav says the Yetzar is comparable to a fly. The Yoshe ben Shneim, Miftuchei Alev. The fly is always buzzing, it's always bothering you. And it's right in there in your heart, so to say. Always trying to tell you to do good. The heart is the representative of the Lev, Livvav Ucha. Your Lev Tov, your Lev Ra. So the buzz, it's always there bothering you. Shneimar, Zvuvei Maves, Yavish, Yabia, Shemin Rokeach. That the Zvuvei Maves, this idea of the Yetzara, it can destroy. Yavish means to destroy, to corrupt. Yavia means to make disgusting. Shemin Rokeach, even beautiful perfume. Your body is beautiful. Your neshama is pure. And yet the Yetzara, the Zvuv, can destroy it. That's Rav's approach. Shmuel Amar, the Mepharshim explains, Shmuel doesn't disagree with Rav. Shmuel is saying just a different aspect. Rav is saying the Yetzara is evil. And Shmuel is saying, no, the Yetzara is good. Amar Kemin Chita, it's like wheat. Wheat can be good. It starts off as a little thing, grown to wheat, but it also can be representative of starting off something as a little nothing. Yetzar whisper you to do a little something, and then it blossoms, and you become a full-fledged Russia. And therefore, Kemin Chita Hu Dome. Shneimar LePesach Chatos Rovitz. They're playing the word Chatos and Chita, so the wheat could be good, but the wheat could be bad. So Shmuel is just looking at it from a different point of view. Tanu Rabbanan. The person has two kidneys. One is constantly giving you good advice. The kloyos, the kidneys, are the seat of wisdom. The yoatzos, the kloyos, the yotzos. We have this in many of our piyutim. We use this language. So there's a good and a bad always pushing you. A person is always given opportunities, given b'chira chavshi. So if you don't have a yetzar, you have no b'chira chavshi. So there's always somebody telling you, no, instead of going to mincha, why don't you relax? You're so tired. You take a drink and go to sleep. You'll daven two shmona esrei tomorrow morning. So that's the Yetzirah talking. It sounds like he's a tzaddik sometimes. Oh, you got to tell Lashon Hara about this guy because he's such a wicked guy. So that's the Yetzirah sometimes. Sometimes the Yetzirah appears with a long beard and payas. So you have to know your Yetzirah. So the Yetzirah is always giving you bad advice, and your Yetzirah Tov is always giving you good advice. You have to decide between them. Well, Mistarva, he says, the Tov Yamino, the Mistarva, the right kidney is the one that gives you the good advice, so to say, and the left kidney is the one that gives you the bad advice. On the right is wisdom, and on the left is small. The right always represents power, good, and everything positive, and the left represents everything negative and evil. In ophthalmology, we see this idea. The right eye is called the ocular dexterous, good, and the left eye is called ocular sinister. That's in medical terminology, you have the same thing. It's not just in the Gemara. The ophthalmologist stole it from the Gemara, and the right represents good, the left represents evil, or not good. Now different parts of the body have different, so to say, aspects to them. So the kidneys are always the ones that give advice. Lev maven, the lev is where you have bina. Losho mechate, the mouth says the actual words. Peh gomer, and the mouth, and the peh finishes them off. The tongue says the actual words, and the peh, which Rashi says is Fasayim, gomer mutzio, the voice comes out from the lips finally. Vesht, your trachea, your windpipe, machlis umotzi, your vest is your esophagus. Machlis umotzi, komi ni maichel. That brings in, and sometimes it can spit out the food. Kana, your trachea, your windpipe, motzi kol. That is where your voice comes from. Reya, the lungs, show eves, komi ni mashkin. Now this is difficult for us to understand. The lungs over here don't get drink. So Rashi explains over here, yeah, of course not. However, They suck out, so to say, in some way. I'm not sure that I understand Rashi from a pathophysiological point of view, but Rashi says over here, Shem nichtosim bekeres, the food obviously goes into the stomach, derech havoshet, through the esophagus, and horeya motzison, the lungs, so to say, suck out, b'sho avoson, mib'ad l'dofni akerem. So what I'm thinking this is over here, this is talking about the pleural fluid that surrounds the lung. So there is a certain small amount normally, sometimes in disease, it can be a large amount of fluid that surrounds the lung, and maybe that's what it's referring to. In any event, that's what the Gemara says over here. Kavei koes, the liver is the source of anger. And Mara, the gallbladder, zorek is botipa manichaso. It takes the gall and it stores it in it, and it can give it out drop by drop so you don't get your full anger, so to say. Tachol, the gears of the Rashi says, is sochek. It's laughter. The spleen over here is a source of laughter. Others have the gears over here, the Ravid, and also the Ravi and the Ramban, say it should be shochek, from a lashon of grinding. So the spleen is in charge of grinding, whatever that means exactly. Korkabon, that the korkabon is in a bird, so that's like the crop. Tochein, it also does the grinding in the bird. The birds, I don't know if they have spleens or not, in some of they do, but in any event, the tchol in a human does the grinding according to these other Rishonim, not like Rashi, and the korkabon does the grinding, the equivalent in the bird. Keva, your stomach, yishena, that's in charge of sleep, right? This is actually medically very true. When a person eats something, so it actually changes the pH in your blood, because you have absorbing all these nutrients, it actually slightly elevates the pH of blood, make it a little bit more alkaline, and therefore you get sleepy. That's why people have a postprandial sleepiness. When you eat, after you eat, so people get a little schluffy. Why do you think you like to schluff so much on Shabbos afternoon? Because you had a nice big meal, right? When you have a peanut butter sandwich quickly at lunch during the week, you don't have that same sense of sleepiness. Some of us do, Baruch Hashem. So if you eat a little bit, so sometimes people get full. It's actually based on pathophysiology to a certain extent, and that's what the Gemara is telling us. Your stomach is in charge of sleep. And Av, your mouth, take a deep breath. Wake up! Take a deep breath. So Av Neyar, that keeps you awake. If it's the other way around, Neyar HaYoshin, Yoshin HaNeyar, so then Nimuk V'Holuklo. That's not good. If the things aren't working properly, specifically in this situation, if the stomach keeps you up, and puts you to sleep. So again, on a pathophysiological way, if a person has sleep apnea, that's not very good. If they're not able to breathe, their nose is clogged or blocked in some way, abnormal anatomy, so that's dangerous. A person can rachmon slan, have a lot of problems with sleep apnea. And likewise, if the stomach keeps the person up, he has all sorts of problems with his stomach, he has heartburn, etc., that's also not good. These things could eventually be trouble for a person. And Tana, if both of them are working together, that's certainly not good. If shneim yishenu, both of them putting you to sleep, oshneim yinarim, both of them keeping you up, miyad meis, that's certainly not good. Again, these to be understood on a medical point of view. I like to always give you interesting medical information, but these are just understood as agadotas over here. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Lilo Mer, Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shoftam. A righteous individual, his Yetzer Tov totally rules him. And David HaMelech is a classical example. He destroyed his Yetzer Hara. David HaMelech, at the end of his life, had no Yetzer Hara. He totally subjugated his Yetzer Hara. Shenemar, Libi Cholo Bekirbi. Libi, notice it says only one bay is over here. My heart is inside of me. So that's David HaMelech talking. He destroyed his Yetzer Hara. He only has one bay in Libi. Libi, not Livavi. Cholo Bekirbi. Rishayim Yetzirah Shoftan. A Rasha, pure evil, so he's destroyed his Yetzirah Tov. He can't do good anymore, almost. That he only does evil. Shneimar Nun Pesha L'Rasha B'Kerav Libi. He also has only one Beis over here, but that's for evil. Ain't Pachad Olim L'Negedin Ov. And he doesn't care at all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bein Onim, normal people, Zev Zeh Shoftan. They're ruled and swayed by both. Sometimes they do good, sometimes they do bad. Shneimar, the Pesach says, Yamo Limin Evyon Lushia Mishoftei Nafsho. The Shoftei Nafsho, both the good and the evil, are ruling over him. I'm a Rabba, Kigon Anu Benonim. Rabba says, you know who's a Benonim? Now, on the side, it says he really should be Rabba, because Abai is going to call him Mar. And Abai and Rabba were colleagues. Abai wouldn't have called Rabba master, Mar. But Rabba was his rabbi, he would have called him. So the Giras on the side says, it should be not Rabba, this should be Rabba. So I'm a Rabba, Kigon Anu Benonim. Rabba says, I'm a Benoni. Oy, vavoy, to the rest of us, if Rabba's a Benoni, which is exactly what the Gemara says, I'm only Abai. Abai says, who's Rabbi? Lo Shavik Mar, Chayel Chobriya. If Rabbi, if you're a Benoni, what about the rest of us? We're in a lot of trouble. You're the God of Ladar. And if you consider yourself a Benoni, so we're not even Benoni then. That's not good for us. If you're a Rabba, here this scares a baby Rabba. Doesn't say it's on the side, it's Rabba, but it's a different statement. So, Lo Ivri Alma El Rishi Gemure, O Le Tzadiki Gemure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world, this world for the Rishayim, and he built the future world for the Tzadikim Gemure. Amar Rabba, Lei De Inish Benafshe, Im Tzadik Gomer Hu Im Lab. And a person has to know, which way is he going? Is he a Tzadik Gomer, or is he going down the wrong path? This world was created for Achav ben Omri, Uli Rechinim ben Dosa. And the next world was created for Rechinim ben Dosa. Liach ben Omri, Olam Azeh, Uli Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Olam Abba. What does exactly this mean? So before I bring down that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was such a great tzaddik. We've had him. He's the biggest Baal Mofes amongst all the Tanoim. And the whole world is sustained on his zechus. And yet all he had in this world was a box, or a piece rather, not a box. He had a piece of boxer. And he sustained himself on this piece of boxer all week long. So he had no connection to this world. He was totally lamalim and ateva. He was purely olam haba. And no, he had to go through this world. That's what Hashem ordained. But he wasn't part of this world. He wasn't. The world wasn't created for him. The next world was created for him. He was pure good. On the other hand, Achav is one of the kings that said he lost his share in the world to come. He was pure gashmius in this world. The Ben Yoyada brings down, he had 70 sons in Yisrael, he had 70 sons in the Shomron, and he had winter and summer palaces, and he was phenomenally wealthy. Rashi brings down over here that everybody's always trying to steal his gold. So it says, Hadad, Kasmachav, Zavcha, Lihu, and he was the paradigm of just this world. All he had was this world. He lost his share of the world to come. So this is what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these two worlds. He created this world for the Rishayim, and he created the next world for the Tzadikim. No, Tzadikim have to live in this world also. So we obviously have to live in this world, but at the same time, that's the prozdor. That's what we say in Pirkei Avos. This world's a prozdor. This is the entranceway, right? In your elevator into your apartment building, and your elevator into your office, so you don't put a lot of furniture and fancy stuff in the elevator, because it's a waste of time. That's not where you're living. So they said over the Chavetz Chaim, the one somebody once came to him, and he said, this is what you live on. A rich guy came to him and said, he's living on a milk carton or whatever he had as a dining room chair. So he said, this is your world? This is what you have? This is nothing. You're going to let door. So he asked the new, where's your couch? So he says, what do you mean, where's my couch? I don't have it with me. He says, in my house. So he said, yeah, you put your couch in your house. My couch is in my world to come. This is the part of the prosdor. This is the corridor. So just like you're not carrying your couch with you when you're traveling around, I don't carry my couch with you when I'm traveling around. Tremendous chokhmah over there. The people who try to just gather trinkets in this world, that's not the purpose of this world. This is the prosdor. This is the gateway to going where you're going. You don't put your furniture in your gateway. Then the pasuk says, Yahav Tisil Mekecha, famous pasuk from Shema. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Nemar B'chol Navshecha, Lom Nemar B'chol Modecha. Why do we say we have to serve Hashem B'chol Navshecha B'chol Miyodecha? With all of our life and with all of our money. So this is a very, very famous vart. If I have to give up all of my money, of course you have to give up my life. If somebody whose body is more important to him than his money, so that person has to give up his life. There's such a crazy person that his money means more to him than his life, so he has to even give up his money. Right? Whatever's important to you, you have to be willing to give up in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Akiva says you have to go and be willing to even give over your nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A yid has to be prepared to be most nefesh. We should never, Chamonu Litzlan, ever be in that situation. But for the three cardinal sins, and in other times as well, a person has to be willing to give up his life to be a yid, to say, I'm a Jew, Shema Yisrael, and if they kill you, they kill you. You have to be willing to do that. Tana Rabbanan, Pamachas Gazu, the famous story with Rabbi Akiva, that he in fact did this. Pamachas Gazu Malchus Urshah, Shalo Yasku. One time there was a terrible gzerah by the Goyim, Shalo Yasku Yisrael B'Torah. We were not allowed in Torah. For a change, they knew that the Goyim know better than we do. The Goyim know if you take away the yeshivas, Chai Yisrael falls apart. The Yidden sometimes don't know that. And the Goyim knew that, and they always made the gzerahs against learning Torah. Bob Pappas Ben Yehuda. Now, Pappas Ben Yehuda was a great individual. Some say this was the Pappas of Lulianis. The Vilna Gaon brings down, this is the Pappas that eventually died, Al Kiddush Hashem, in this story. He says this is the source for where Pappas were thrown into jail eventually. But in any event, Pappas was a great person. He was a Tana like Rabbi Akiva. Umatzul Rabbi Akiva, Shoy Maku Kilus Rabbim, Bosik Batara. He came upon Rabbi Akiva and saw he was teaching Torah publicly after it was decreed not to do that. Amalei Akiva. He called him Akiva because they were colleagues. He was a Tana. Aren't you over here afraid of the Romans? They said, don't do this, and you're doing this. So what's going on over here? So first of all, how could Rabbi Akiva do this? So number one, if it's something before Hesia, the Goyim say, you're not allowed to do something before Hesia, you're allowed to give up your life for that. The other thing is, a Shas HaShmat, during times of, when the Goyim say, tie your shoelaces is in a certain way, so you're not allowed to do that, if it's, again, if it's a Gzera specifically against Yadus, as opposed to, a guy says, I want you to eat this this cheeseburger over here, because it just will give me pleasure to see you eating this cheeseburger. You know, dance Jew. So that, you don't have to give up your life for. But if they're doing something connected to religion, you even have to give up your life when it's not one of the three cardinal sins. In any event, he told him, Rabbi Akiva responded to him, I'll give you an example to what this is analogous to, why I'm teaching Torah. A fox walking by the river. He sees a fish jumping from the water. He says, where are the fish running from? Where are you running? It seems like you're running from something. We're running away from the nets over here. The nets are coming, and they're going to capture us, so we're running away. The men are coming over here, they're throwing their nets into the water, so we're running away from them. You know, once you live next to me, we can be good friends. Now, I don't understand what it means over here, that my forefathers lived with your forefathers. I didn't get a chance to see any of them before I should talk about this. And then he says, no, let's be friends. Come out onto the land and I'll take care of you, Mr. Fox says to the fish. So the fish aren't stupid. The wise fox, the wily fox, the sly fox, that's an expression we have in English. That's an expression that was all known for all time. So they said, you're the wise fox that everybody talks about? You're a fool. You're a fool. In the place where our life is, Chiyusenu over here is the Torah. Malkum Chiyusenu is Mayim. Mayim is Torah. So in the place where we're going to survive, we need water to survive. Nevertheless, on Misraim, we're fearful. But Malkum Misasenu, if we go out in the land, we can't survive in the land. Without the Torah, we're going to die. So you're telling me, don't learn Torah? With the Torah, we have a chance to live. Without the Torah, we're definitely going to die. Afanachnu, so to us. Achshav Shana Yoshev Osim Torah, Rabbi Akiva told him, we have a chance to live. Shekhozabah, Kiyu Chayach V'Yoruch Yimecha. This is our source of life. Kach, Im Onu Ho'ochim, Umavat Mimen, Alachaz Kam V'Kam. And if we go and not learn the Torah, then we're definitely going to be dead. Amru, they said, Lo Hayu Yamim Wat, it was only a few days. This happened, according to Mepharshim, on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Rabbi Akiva was killed and flayed, Rachmana Litzlan, the horrible story of Rabbi Akiva, occurred on Yom Kippur. Actually, Tafsul Rabbi Akiva, they took Rabbi Akiva, they grabbed him for learning Torah publicly, they threw him in jail. Likewise, the Papas Ben Yehuda, and they threw him in as well. So, Amar Lo, Papas, mi habiyach lekan. So Rabbi Akiva asked Papas, what are you doing over here? So the Vilna Gaon explains what Papas' sin was. Either he was being charged at this point, the Vilna Gaon says, Lishitaso, that this was Papas and Lulianis, so he was accused of killing the king's daughter, which he didn't do. And he ultimately took the rap for the crime and was killed in order to save Klai Yisrael. So he was a great tzaddik, this Papas. We shouldn't think that he wasn't. Or alternatively, he didn't protest Rabbi Akiva's learning Talmud Torah. He told Rabbi Akiva, why are you doing this? Rabbi Akiva explained to him. He said, okay, gesundheit. Papas apparently was in a position that he could have said, Rabbi Akiva's doing wrong. And the Romans grabbed him for not stopping Rabbi Akiva for learning Torah. And anyway, Papas is in jail with Rabbi Akiva. Amalei. So Papas says to Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. Notice now he calls him Rabbi Akiva. Even though they were equals, they were Tanoim, he now says, you're my Rabbi. I see that you're correct. Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, Shiditasto al Divrei Torah. You were brought into jail for learning Torah. Oyli, the Papas, Shiditfazal Dor B'Talem. I was brought in here for a fake crime. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything, and yet I'm in jail. And you did something proper, and you're in jail. So I'd rather be in jail for what you did than what I did. B'shar Shusias Rabbi Akiva, Lahariga. The Nebuch, they took out Rabbi Akiva to flay him. Zaman Kriyashma. It was Zaman of Kriyashma. But Yisorkin is Besor B'Mesekshu Baza. And they were combing his flesh, flaying his flesh. A horrible, horrible tragedy. And Asar Rugi Malchus. It's so terrible. And at the time he's saying Shema, he says, this is the right time for me to say Shema Yisrael. Or well, the Tamidim said to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbeinu, Adkan Omer Lehem, Adkan, so much? Is this how far you have to go to accept Omer Lehem Shemaim on you at this moment? You're physically suffering? Omer Lehem, call your Mayesi Mitzdara, Pasuk Zed. No, that's the end of this Talmud Rush over here. All my life I was worried about the Pasuk. It says, you have to give up your life to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Afilu no tell us not this Shemascha. I darsh in this, that you have to give up your life to Hashem. So I said to myself, Amarti, Masayav Oli Dai, Yekamenu. It's a pasuk, I want to fulfill it. Will I have the opportunity to fill this pasuk? Not that he was asking Rachmanu for death. He's saying, if this opportunity comes before me, will I have the wherewithal to withstand this? And even in that time of great distress, I'll have the ability to say Shema Yisrael. Oh, that's what I said. If this opportunity comes my way, I hope I'll be able to overcome this challenge. Now, Baruch Hashem, I have the opportunity. I didn't want this opportunity, but I have the opportunity, so I'm not going to lose it. So he said, Echod, right? He was Marach, the right way he's supposed to say, Echod, Asher Yosef Shmoso, be Echod. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his life at that point. Yosef Basko, a voice comes out from Shema and says, I'm Shrecha, Rabbi Akiva, praiseworthy you, Rabbi Akiva, Shiotz Mishmoso, be Echod. You were the perfect person. Rabbi Akiva was even looked upon by Moshe Rabbeinu, was saying, why are you giving me the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu said, give it to Rabbi Akiva, he's such a great person. So the angel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, Zu Torah, Zu Schara, right? We have this in our Piyutim on Yom Kippur. This is my sorry movie of Achos. How can you do this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says, "Mimisim Yodcha Hashem, Mimisim Yodcha Hashem, Mimisim Gomer." Better to die in old age by your hand, Hashem, rather than by the Romans over here. This is so cruel. So Hashem says to the Malachim, "Chalkam b'chayim." Your job over here is life. It's the lashon over here is that this is the lot of the tzaddikim. Chalkam, the lot of all the tzaddikim is like this. Sometimes their world is all in the future world and not in this world. Yosef Basko v'yom ha'shrecha Rabbi Akiva. Again, the Basko praise Rabbi Akiva. Sha'ato mezumen l'chayel abo. You, Rabbi Akiva, are destined for the world to come. Your eternal place is secure for the great Mesiras Nefesh that you had. We'll stop over here. Everybody have a wonderful day.